Happy Easter, church. Thank you for coming to Reborn Church to spend your Resurrection Sunday, where we come to remember that Jesus did rise from the dead, that he died on the cross and rose again. And today we're going to be talking about all of that, his power to raise from the dead. A couple things before I begin my sermon. I just want to invite all of you back next week. We're going to be kicking off a brand new series called Made for This. What was I made for? Why did God make me? What is my purpose in life? Many of us have asked those questions. What is next for me? What have I been saved to do? And so we're going to go through a series called Made for This to answer some of those questions so that you walk with your purpose. You walk in your identity with Jesus. Second thing is we're going to be in Mark chapter 5. I do not have the verses on the screen today, but we're going to be in Mark chapter 5, verse 21. And I will read the first few verses, but we're going to read the second half of Mark chapter 5. And I do want to say this. There are two invitations that I have for all of you this morning. Only two. And they apply to all of us. One is, I want to invite every single one of you into a deeper connection with Jesus, a deeper relationship with Jesus. Now, if this is your first time at church, welcome to church. My name is Pastor Eric, pastor here. And I want to welcome you. I want to invite you into a relationship with Jesus. This is what you were made for. You were made for a relationship with Jesus. Or if you've been to church and you've grown up in church, and maybe you've left church, maybe you left your faith, or maybe you believe in God, but your relationship with God has not been solid, I want to invite you today as well to actually recommit your life to Jesus. Or if you've been walking with Jesus for some years, I want to invite you to enter into a deeper relationship with Jesus today. So that's my invitation for all of you. Second invitation is, if by the end of the sermon, you want to be baptized, like you were like, I want to believe in Jesus, I want to invite you back next Sunday for us to baptize you, to celebrate, I'm following Jesus. I've actually accepted my relationship with Jesus. I want to let everybody know that I was dead, now I'm alive. Jesus died for my sins, and he rose again. And if you would like to be baptized, please let myself know, or Pastor Gabe, who is in the white button-up right back there, please let us know. You know, you could also let Rob know. He's wearing the maroon. You could let him know as well. Or if you have a friend here or a family member, I want to be baptized, and you don't want to come up to any of us, have them come up to us. We'd love to talk to you as well about that. Baptism really is that step. It's that step of following Jesus. And also, if you've been, maybe you grew up in the faith, maybe you grew up as a Christian, but you didn't even know why you got baptized. That was my story. Like, I didn't know why we got baptized. I didn't know the significance of it. People got baptized like 5 or 6 times at my church growing up. But baptism is important. And if you understand, you believe that Jesus died and rose again for you, then it's time to take that step and get baptized or rebaptized now that you know. For all of us, what we like to do at our church is we like to stand for the reading of God's word. It's just a tradition that we have. And so I'll be reading out of Mark chapter 5. I will be reading out of the English Standard Version. So if you have a Bible app, you can switch to that translation. And this is the words of the one true and living God. I will read verse 21 through 24. It says, and when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet, and he implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. You may now be seated in the presence of God. Thank you for standing with me. Let us pray. Father, your word is the truth. Your word is life-giving. Lord, I pray that we would actually grow in our faith today, that we would remember that your son rose from the dead, and by that, new life has come. We're no longer who we used to be by faith in your son, but we are new people, new creations, forgiven, grace extended, favor, no longer enemies, but your children. Lord, if there's anyone in here who doesn't believe in you or has gone through their life thinking that they believe in you and actually are not genuinely saved, Father, by the power of your Spirit, Jesus, I pray that you would send the Holy Spirit today so that we can enter into that relationship with you. and grow. And this is by your name that I pray, Jesus. Amen. I want to preach today from the title, sermon title, Get Up. I'll preach Get Up. In this particular passage, Jesus is going to make that command to get up. And he himself has the ability to make that command because he has all resurrection power in his hands. He is the resurrection, as John chapter 11 says. The resurrection is very, very, very important. Rob came up here and he gave us the importance about the resurrection. I do want to preface the whole passage by saying this about the resurrection. You are not just a soul, but you are also a body. There's this theology out there that says you are just a soul in a body, but that's not necessarily true. That's why the resurrection is important, because Jesus rose physically. So we were not created to just be a ghost or just a spirit. We were created to have a body as well. And so that's why Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he's saying at the end of all things, you will receive your body again. That's what the resurrection means. One day we will get our body again. Yes, if you die and you believe in Jesus, you will go. Your spirit will go to heaven to be with God, but your body remains in the grave, or if it's cremated in a pot. Nevertheless, the resurrection is important because you were created to have your body. You may not like your body, but I got good news. Jesus is going to resurrect and make your body better. The resurrection is vitally important. Jesus rose physically. Our bodies are important to Jesus. And in this particular passage, we're gonna be dealing with people's bodies. Jesus specifically is going to be dealing with people's bodies. In this particular passage, we are introduced to a man by the name of Jairus. Jairus comes and he's desperate. He's lost hope. The only thing that is left for him to do is to come and meet Jesus. Come and ask Jesus for help. Now, being a parent, I now know this particular thing about being a father. That there's just something about when your kids are just not feeling well, that it just makes you feel like, you know, kryptonite, hopeless, like helpless. You can't do anything. When your kids are sick, the only thing you could do is try to treat their symptoms and just hope that it passes. It's hard to see your kids go through pain, and it's hard to see your kids maybe experience some forms of suffering. And that's what Jairus is dealing with. He's dealing with vulnerability. He's dealing with frustration. He's dealing with waiting on God, and God's still not answering his prayers to heal his daughter. Jairus is a leader. He's a ruler of the synagogue. What this means is that he was a church. Synagogue is basically a Jewish church. He was the security for the church. He was the one who handled the scriptures. He wasn't a rabbi, but he basically protected the church. He served God in the church. And you would think that a man who serves God in the church would have favor with God in such a way that he's problem-free. But you know, if you're a Christian in here, you know that Christian life is not problem-free. Yeah. We go through many valleys, many mountaintops, but then valleys. And your faith is not tested until you've prayed for things and you've had to wait for God. And so Jairus has been praying. Jairus has been waiting for the answer for his daughter to be healed. And his daughter is about to die. It's not looking good. Hope is getting lost. But he goes to Jesus. There isn't a rabbi around that can heal his daughter, but he goes to Jesus. The text says, verse 22, then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus. Seeing him, he fell at his feet. And really, that's the only posture that we can go to Jesus. A posture of humility. I need you. I need you not just when times are rough, but when times are good. I need you. And this particular man knows he needs Jesus, and so he goes to Jesus. Verse 23 says, and he implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. Patience is vitally important for Jairus. Patience, waiting on God, waiting on Jesus to come through. So they're gonna have to go on a trip now. They're going to have to go on a long walk with Jesus. Anyone ever been on a long walk with Jesus, just waiting for him to come through, waiting for him to answer the prayers that you've been asking? Patience is necessary. It's real hard, but it's necessary. Patience isn't just necessary, though, but expectation is also necessary. Expect it. I'm believing God for a miracle, but I'm also expecting God for this miracle. It's one thing to say, I just have faith in God, but it's another thing to expect that God can do something that you can't do. It's one thing to expect that God can come through when circumstances say otherwise. Faith and patience is important, but expectation is also important in this passage. Verse 24 says, and he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. We're interrupted on this journey. Jairus and Jesus are together on the way to heal his daughter who's sick. We're interrupted by a woman who just interjects into the story, interjects into this account. She's not supposed to be there, but she puts herself in this pathway. Jesus is on the way, and she puts herself on his path. And for some of us, we need to be reminded that forget whatever else we're doing. We need to be on the path to meet Jesus. We need to be on the path where he is on the way, where miracles are going to happen, where miracles can occur. And she's got a problem. There's a crowd around, and she's alone in a crowd. I don't know if you know this, but you can actually be alone. Maybe you have a family, you're close to your family, but you can actually be alone. You can be married, but you can actually still be alone. You can have friends, but you could still be alone. So this woman, alone in a crowd, and she has a blood issue, an issue of blood, hemorrhaging. She's constantly bleeding for 12 years. Many theologians believe that this was menstruation. I can't imagine a woman being on her period for 12 years. That is not pleasant, I'm sure. 12 years. 12 years of pain, suffering. And she's tried everything. It says that she's tried doctors. She's given all of her money away. Now, I want you to know this. Christians, we should believe in doctors. We should believe in medicine. Doctors and medicine are a means of grace that God has. Christians should not be against doctors or medication. Okay? Don't want you to ever think that. It's wisdom to use experts and things that they prescribe. But in this particular situation, this woman, she's tried everything, and it's just gotten worse. You ever been in a situation where it was bad, but it just keeps getting worse? My gosh. This is bad, but God, why do these things keep getting worse? Does anyone know how old Jairus' daughter is? We haven't read in the passage yet, but she's 12 years old. The day when she was born, the time she was born, the year she was born, this woman begins to have a disease. Same time she's born, this woman has a disease. Same day, they both meet Jesus. It's very interesting to think about. This woman is alone in a crowd. She's tried everything. She's exhausted. There is no hope for her, but she comes to Jesus. And it says, when she had suffered everything, spent all that she had, no better, she grew worse. Verse 27 says, she had heard the reports about Jesus, came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Notice that it says she heard reports. How does faith come? By hearing. Romans 10. Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing the word of God. This woman heard the reports of Jesus, began to build up her faith. But proximity also matters. Nearness and closeness also matters. Yeah. It's one thing to hear about Jesus, but it's another thing to be touched by Jesus. Right. It's another thing to actually be in his presence. Yeah. And this is only available for all those who actually have faith in him. It's one thing to hear about the great things that he's done. It's one thing to hear about how lives have been changed, but it's a whole other thing for him to actually change your life. Proximity matters. And this is why I'm glad that you're at church today. Because proximity matters. Closeness to Jesus actually matters for your life. And if you come to Jesus and if you put your faith in Jesus, all you Christians who have done this, you know and you've tasted and seen that Jesus is good, that the Lord is good, and that there is nowhere else to go. Because when I've met him, I've been fulfilled. I've been satisfied. He's healed all of my inner sin disease. There's nowhere else I can go to be filled. It's only Jesus. Instantaneously, she's dried up. The blood dries up. And she's healed. Proximity, it matters. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be away from where God is doing some things. I follow a lot of churches in the valley because I want to be a part of what God is doing here in Arizona. I want to see what God is doing. God is doing something here. And I want to see all the great things that he's doing around Arizona. And part of coming to church, the importance of coming to church is because you were made for community. This particular woman, she was isolated by community because she was deemed unclean. She has a blood disease, which made her unclean. She can't actually associate with people. If she can't even come to church because of this blood disease. Resistance. She's touched by Jesus, and she's healed. Jesus is the only one that can make unclean things clean. If you have some mess in your life, you got some things in your life that you just don't like, he's the only one that can come and make those things clean. And that you don't identify with those things anymore, but that you would identify, be found in him. I find it interesting also that we don't get this woman's name. In the passage before Mark chapter 5, we don't get the demoniac's name. Jesus casts out demons. We don't get his name, but we get Jairus' name, but we don't get her name. We also don't get the name of the daughter either. The people's names that we don't get in Mark chapter 5, Jesus heals, which means that he heals unclean things so that you wouldn't identify with the unclean things, but you would identify yourself with him who is named. So we were all once clean, all of us, we were all once clean, but if you place your faith in Jesus, it is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. I am identified by Jesus. Verse 30 says this, and Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. This is interesting because Jesus is the omniscient one. The claim of Christianity is that Jesus is God, and so he knows all things. Why would he turn around and ask such a question? Why would he turn around and ask a question that he already knows the answer to? Very interesting to consider and think about. But the real reason is, don't think that you're going to get a healing from Jesus and not actually connect with him. Don't think that you're actually going to get a healing, get your prayers answered, and him not want to meet you and change your life. Who touched me? I want to know you. Who received their healing? Who got up? This woman was dying, but she got up because of what Jesus did. Don't you dare think that you can walk away when Jesus heals you. He's not done with you. There is more for you. There is life for you in Jesus. Who is it that touched me? Jesus asks, and the disciples, they respond, they just don't get it sometimes. They struggle and they just don't get it. And Jesus, everybody's touching you. Why would you ask this such a question? And he's asking this question actually so that their faith is built. That they not have their own faith in just faith. Don't have faith in faith, but have faith in a person. Her faith is actually what the lesson is about for the disciples. She believed Jesus. She trusted Jesus. Yeah. He is the only one that can make me get up out of my circumstance and situation. So it says in verse 33, but the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." Verse 35. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house, from Jairus' house, some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." Hope is lost. Don't bother Jesus, Jairus' friends say. There's no use to praying anymore. There's no use to believing. There's no use to trusting. How far has that gotten you? Jesus was interrupted. Don't bother him anymore. Clearly, you're not as important as that woman was. You ever have people in your life that just tell you, stop praying, stop believing, stop going to church? You've tried it. And Jesus isn't something that we try. I don't know if you know this. Some people say, you tried everything but try Jesus. He's not something that we try. He's actually the one that we were made for. We don't try. We don't try. We don't try him out to see if he works for us, because chances are he's not going to end up working for you, because then you're putting your faith in something else. I'm putting my faith in circumstances being better if I follow Jesus, and that is not the guarantee. The guarantee is you get life, you get eternal life with him. And he's going to walk you through these seasons that will teach you, that will test you, and build your faith in him and trust him. As he calms storms, he's with you in the storm. Don't bother Jesus anymore, the friends say. Don't worry about it. I want to ask you all this. Who told you that it's over? Who told you to stop praying? Who told you to stop believing? I'm asking this also for those who, in the future, maybe right now in your life, things are good, and that's great. But there is going to be some point in times where you question, why do I even believe anymore? Because life is hard, and life is not always great. It's not always feeling good. Some of you in this room know that because you might be experiencing that right now. But some of us, on the other hand, life is feeling good for us right now. And so when the thoughts come of, why do I still believe? This is hopeless. There's no use. Things aren't going to get better. You hold on to Jesus. You believe in Jesus, who has the power to say to dead things, to get up. Amen. Don't bother Jesus anymore. And then he says this. I love this, verse 36. But overhearing what they said, Jesus is still talking to the woman with the disease that he healed. But he overhears a conversation. It's important that word overhearing is important, because it means that not just that he overheard and listened, but that he ignored what they said. I'm ignoring what the people are telling you. I'm ignoring the people that say, don't believe in Jesus. Don't trust him anymore. Don't bother him with your prayers. Those prayers you've been praying for years, don't bother him. I'm ignoring that. Jesus ignores that. Ignores that negativity. Those are some things that you could say, yeah, that's toxic, okay? There are some things that are toxic, and that's what's toxic. Some things you write off, people, they're toxic. No, well, that is toxic. The people who say don't trust in Jesus, that is toxicity. And Jesus will eventually prove himself that he is who he says he is. Proximity matters. Faith in Jesus matters. But he overhears and he ignores. And so it's as if he's talking to the woman. He's still saying, daughter, your faith has made you well. And he's talking with him and overhearing. He's having this conversation. And he says basically to Jairus, don't fear, only believe. He's talking. Don't fear, only believe. Who's he talking? There's a big crowd. Who's he talking to? Is he talking to them? Is he talking to Jairus? Yes, everybody. Everybody. He's talking to Jairus too, but everybody who's hearing Jesus, do not fear, only believe. Fear is crippling. Fear paralyzes you. Fear tells you that it's over. It's never going to get better from here. It's done. Fear will tell you things that don't even happen in the future that you believe. Fear is a scary thing. Fear happens when we don't feel like we can control our own lives. And the truth is, you don't. You can't control your future. You can really control what God has given you the ability to by his grace. but you can't control the outcome. And so Jairus can't control his daughter dying. Jesus has every power and every authority. Just at his word, she can be healed and get up. But he doesn't do that. He instead goes on this journey with Jairus, meets this woman, prolongs this. She's dying. The clock is ticking. But Jesus walks with him. The clock is ticking for some of us in circumstances and situation. But the question remains, will you fear or will you believe in Jesus? Verse 37 says, and he believed, and he allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. So only the three. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had answered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. And I love this. He put them all outside. He took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and he went in where the child was. The mourners, did you know back then they hired professional criers? It's crazy. They hired professional criers. It's a custom. They just hire people to professionally cry. Yes, instead of the mariachis that you're used to, they hired the professional criers. They came. And do you know the professional criers? I don't know how they do it. Just cut onions around and just start crying? Because they don't care actually about the situation. They're lamenting. They might read some Lamentations, but they're not really focused on the girl. And that's why they're so quick to laugh. They were just crying, but then they're quick to laugh, which shows that anytime someone puts their faith in Jesus, the world, they're representative of the world that does not care about the things of Jesus, does not care putting our trust, they'll mock it. They'll mock the word. As if faith in Jesus is ignorant, as if faith in Jesus is not reasonable. You will have faith in something. Everybody has faith. You will have faith in something. But will your faith actually stand and come through when you need it to come through? And only Jesus can do that. And so he puts them out. There are some people sometimes that you just need to put out. Sometimes you need to clear the room. Jesus cleared the room so that they can no longer have their negativity in the realm of faith and hope. Sometimes people are telling you, don't believe that Jesus can come through. And you got to put that out. You too might be telling yourself these things, and you got to put that out. Jesus has the power to come through. He did it for the woman not too long ago, just a few moments ago, and he could do it for Jairus and his daughter. And because he did it for the woman, and because he did it for Jairus and his daughter, he can also do it for you. And so we believe, and we keep pressing in. And then the text says, taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means little girl, I say to you, get up or arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was how old? 12 years of age. The same time that the woman started her blood disease, this girl was born. There are no accidents in this world. Jesus is orchestrating all things for his purposes. Whose fault is it that this girl was sick? Whose fault of it was that this woman had a blood disease? Was it that they did not believe? Was it that they did not trust enough? No, it was so that the glory of God can be displayed on this particular day. So this day, Jesus can tell the hemorrhaging woman to get up, and on this day, Jesus can tell that 12-year-old girl to get up from the dead. Jesus is able to do that because he is the resurrection, because he holds the power to resurrect dead things. This little girl is laying there. She's stuck. She can't do anything. Jesus comes into this dead situation. He's not supposed to touch a dead body, by the way, unclean thing. But he's the only one that can touch unclean things and make them clean. He's the only one that can bring life to a dead situation. He's the only one that could tell us to get up. And so for some of us, Jesus might be reminding us today, you might think that your life is over, but you need to get up. You might think that your situation is done, but you need to get up. This girl, she represents potential. She represents future. She's only 12. She's about to probably have, I think it's, is it a bat mitzvah, bar mitzvah, bat, bar? I can't remember which one is for the girl and which one is for the boy. Bat is for the girl. Thank you, Santiago. Bat is for the girl. There is a next level of her life. There's a next step in her life. There's a future. She's about to become a woman, but dreams are slowly dying. Her future that she thought she was going to have is dying until she eventually does die. The sickness killed her. She represents the future. For some of us, you need to be reminded it's not over until Jesus says it is. And if he breathes life into you, then there is more for you. We are not the people who don't have hope. Christians are the people of hope because there is always hope in Jesus. Always hope. There is a brighter future for us, even if it gets harder. We always win with Jesus. Philippians chapter 1 teaches us to live is Christ. That is a win. To die is gain. That is a win. In this particular instance, he brings life back into this girl so that she raises up. She says, daughter, get up. This is the second time Jesus says, daughter. He said it to the woman who had the blood disease. Now he says it to this girl, daughter. Which means when Jesus comes into your life, you are no longer isolated. You are no longer an orphan, but you are now a son and daughter of the King. Which means you have now a family that you should be a part of. The woman was isolated in a crowd, but now she can be a part of the community. And more so, we now have a father who loves us. Newsflash for some of us, you are not naturally born a child of God. You are only born a child of God by Jesus who resurrects the dead and gives them life, and by faith in him. So we are all born dead sinners, and it is until Jesus comes and gives us life and raises us up from the dead and tells us to get up, and when we believe in him and have faith in him, we are now new, and we now have a father. And he calls us daughter, and he calls us sons. And he is able, more than able, to resurrect dead things. And I wanted to end again with a reminder of the two invitations that I gave to you. The two invitations were, I want to invite you into a deeper relationship with Jesus. I want you to put your faith in him. And if you've been a Christian for some time, I want you to actually grow in your faith with him. I want you to believe Jesus, that he can do great things for you in your life. Maybe you don't know what 4 years is, four or five years is going to look like for you. But will you actually trust him that he's going to grow you if you believe in him and you walk with him? Second thing is, if you're believing in Jesus for the first time, or maybe you're believing in him and you felt like you believed him in the past, but you actually haven't committed and devoted your life to him, I want to invite you to actually consider believing in Jesus today and getting baptized next Sunday. And please talk to one of us. We'd love to talk to you. Today is the day where we remember Jesus rose from the dead, and he tells us to get up as he told that girl and that hemorrhaging woman to get up. Let us pray. Father in heaven, you rose your son, Jesus. You rose yourself from the dead. And Holy Spirit, you rose Jesus from the dead as well. You've done great and mighty things. You resurrect dead situations. Father, if there's anybody who feels lonely in here, nobody knows me, nobody cares about me, Jesus, in this moment, will you go and tell them to get up? Get up and believe. Do not fear, but believe. And when they believe, Father, I pray that you would come and lavish your love on them. change their identity to a child of God. Father, I pray for anyone in here who's been a Christian for years. Lord, I pray that you would build their faith, increase their faith. Lord, may they pray great prayers and believe that you can come through and work with them in the waiting until those prayers come through. Jesus, I pray that if there's anybody in you who has not believed in you today, that they would believe in you and your power to raise people from the dead. Lord, I pray that you would give us hope, that you would increase our faith. And this is in your great and powerful name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 If you need prayer, the prayer team will be up here to pray with you. If not, I love you. Thank you for coming to Reborn Church today. You're welcome to hang out and talk to each other. You're welcome to take pictures by the banner out there as well. I love you. Enjoy the rest of your